Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Willie and D-Mace coming your way here. Final hour of the show. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Second day of Titans training camp in pads. We've talked about that a lot. We'll get back to that a little bit later in the show. But as we promised you earlier, we got a special guest on the line with us who many of you will know if you have followed baseball in this area for a while. Pedro Alvarez joins us. He is involved in the Nashville Sounds upcoming event, Home Run Derby X, which is in Nashville on Saturday, August 31st. It's going to be a home run derby, but it's unique. They've got Pedro and a couple other veteran Major League Baseball players who have hit their share of home runs. Pedro hit 162 in his career in the bigs. And we'll let him explain it a little bit more. Pedro, thank you for coming on the show with us. Good to talk to you.
Well, thank you very much, you guys, for having me.
So, Pedro, tell me about Home Run Derby X. Who came to you with the idea, and how excited are you to get out there and swing it?
I'm pretty excited. It was a team out of MLB contacted me. Obviously, the Sounds connection and the Vandy connection, they kind of figured I'd be interested. And it's a fun competition. We got three-on-three competition. We got four teams, and pretty much set up just like the MLB Home Run Derby, but just with a couple extra cool features. For instance, like opposing teams can play defense, and it can count against you. We got special like semifinal rounds and final rounds, and different swing multipliers. So it's a home run derby with all the cool perks of like a fun action filled event.
Yeah, there are four teams. Each team has three players. Each team has a former big league slugger. An outstanding, if I'm reading this right, Pedro, an outstanding women's softball player, and then somebody maybe with a local tie is the third, maybe a little wild card, I guess is how I would describe it, right?
Yes, sir. It's somebody local from the area that has been either requested by someone else or has applied and has been given the opportunity to showcase himself.
Pedro, I noticed that nobody came to me and said, Willie, would you like to be the local guy on one of these teams? They looked at my minor league stats, and I had one minor league home run and two home runs at Vanderbilt, Pedro. I guess I would not be effective in this.
I think you have too much expertise.
Oh, boy. But Pedro, for people that don't know Pedro, he was a great player at Vanderbilt under Tim Corbin, the early years of Tim Corbin's regime. He got there in 2003, and Pedro came along a couple years later and took it to a whole new level. But Pedro, it's just really interesting to look back to think about how long Tim Corbin basically has had a generation of players now that have come through there. It's just amazing to think back through that legacy.
Oh, I mean, it's what he's been able to do there, what he's been able to do for that that program, but just also for the city of Nashville, has been just unbelievable. You know, Coach Corbin is like a dad to me, was when I was there, still is. And I think it just goes to show you the kind of program that we have there. And I say we because I still feel very much part of it. I recently just moved from Nashville, but when I was there, I was there all the time. I just recently finished up my degree, and I was at the field every day, right? So it's one of those places where, it's the program that keeps giving. I just remember in the beginning when I first was hearing about Vanderbilt and the school has always been well known for its academics. And honestly, that was the extent of what I knew Vanderbilt to be, you know, the Harvard of the South, as they used to call it. And And to see the growth, to see where this program has gotten is you know, it makes me feel very proud to be part of this this program.
You know, you mentioned it, and as I mentioned to D-Mace earlier in our show when we were telling people you were coming on, is back at that time, you know, you're from New York City. It's not like you grew up around the corner, as you just mentioned, and you knew a ton about Vanderbilt, and the baseball program itself had not become what it is today. So now it's routine for somebody to be recruited by Tim Corbin in you name a state, California or Texas or Boston, wherever, and they will know all about the program. But it wasn't like that for you. So how did he connect with you? And you said to yourself, okay, this is a place where I can go and we can build something here.
You know, I think if anything, it's a testament to the people that were there. Coach Corbin and Coach Backage and DJ and Blake Allen and everybody who was there at the time, you know, it was just the little bit I got to see Corbs during tournaments and the opportunities I got to interact with anybody from the university, it just felt like the right place and the right fit. And I knew that if I went there, I'd be taken care of. And I think most importantly, my parents knew that or had that feeling that I would be taken care of. And like I said, academically, Vanderbilt has never been, you know, any slouch. And so we knew what we were getting there. And to be honest with you, just the fact that I was going to have the ability to play in the SEC against that kind of competition, and I just foresaw myself having an opportunity to be able to play right away, for me it was kind of a no-brainer. You know, what we focused on was playing for somebody who you thought had the best interest in you, regardless of what the team looked like or the past history. You know, to me, honestly, that was secondary. But given the people that were there and given the situation that you can experience at Vanderbilt is what sold it. And obviously, it's a beautiful, beautiful campus.
We'll talk with Pedro Alvarez. Now, Pedro, you just mentioned Corbs and how you felt about him when you got recruited and got there and how you still feel about him as a person, a sort of a father figure. Is that why this program has been able to sustain the success they have sustained over these years? Like Willie said, it's been a generation. He's had a generation of players now, and he's had a lot of success there at Vanderbilt. Is it because of the approach you're talking about, where it's almost like a father figure, and your parents, they know they're sending you to someone that really, truly cares about you?
You know, I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, I'm not going to go ahead and say that it's all mm-hmm. anyone cares for and, you know, for everybody. But it's obviously a huge part of it. You know, now myself having kids of my own, you know, that's definitely when it's time to cross that bridge. That's something. Let's say my daughters are in athletics or anything. I know I would like for them to go somewhere where I know that they're safe, right, and that they're going to be taken care of. So, for sure, it's up there. And I think it's the fact that you learn so many things outside of just the baseball realm. You know, a lot of things that you learn to become a better young adult and eventually a better father or a better son. It's like those tiny attention to details that may seem trivial in the baseball world, but at the end of the day, I think part of Coach Corbin and Vanderbilt's legacy is to have us leave that place a little bit better human beings. And I think Vanderbilt does a great job of that.
Now, one thing that Coach Corbs has to deal with, just like any other coach, in college and for that fact in high school now is the whole NIL. You would have been a guy that would have been, you know, team, you know, sponsors would have been coming out the woodworks trying to give you NIL. How do you think that it's affected sort of baseball? I know how it's affected other sports, mainly football, but how do you think it's affected baseball now that they have implemented sort of this NIL and athletes, whether it be men or women, they get an opportunity to benefit off their likeness, which they should have gotten a long time ago?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, in anything that you do, whether it's athletics, whether it's being a doctor, whatever field you're in, you should always, you know, be compensated what you deserve. That being said, I know it's, you know, I'm having a hard time even grasping the idea of NIL and even exactly how it works. So I think there's a lot of things that still need to be figured out. It just has forced institutions now to obviously look into that, you know, and, you know, because it's a recruiting tool in itself. And, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, every so often, you know, you talk about, you know, generational, but it's just one of those big pivotal moments that changes the dynamic of an industry and a field, and it's about adapting, right? So, you know, on one end, it's great that, you know, these athletes are getting what they deserve and what they've earned, especially when we talk about our football players, right? And so it's great, you know, but I know that there's a lot of things that still need to be kind of worked out and to make sure that, you know, no one is being taken advantage of.
We're talking to Pedro Alvarez, former Vanderbilt Commodore, former Pittsburgh Pirate, Baltimore Oriole. He'll be participating in the Nashville Sounds MLB Home Run Derby X at First Horizon Park Saturday, August 31st, in front of the home fans here, beautiful park. And Manny Ramirez, Andrew Jones, Nick Swisher, all on teams along with Pedro.
Got your name up there, Willie?
No, they haven't changed. The press release is the same. No breaking news on that, which is smart. But Pedro, you know, I think back. D-Mace and I talk about this a lot because it's changed. I try to put myself in the shoes of an 18 or 19-year-old. Now, you were a person that could have gone pro out of high school if you'd elected to. You could have turned pro and made some money at that point, pretty good money. But you had to choose, do I go to college or do I do that? Now, you could have conceivably gone to Vanderbilt and also been able to make some money. Do you think you would have been able to handle that? Because I always wonder, especially for those, there's a lot of football players that are getting ridiculous amounts of money. You could drive a really nice car. Right. Like, but are you ready for that type of thing at that stage of your life? Do you think you would have been?
You know, I mean, I think the answer that I want to say and want to hear is yes, I'd be able to handle it. But with that being said, I think that, you know, that would have caused that would have called for a different situation. You know, probably had some kind of representation that helps you with that, right? Because definitely, it would have been something that would have been novel and foreign and a bit overwhelming for sure. And so, I think it would have just introduced the idea of having, you know, external help just at a younger age.
Pedro, you played a long time with the Pirates. The Pirates are right now, and you played on some postseason teams with the Pirates over the, and that's something I'm sure you were proud of. When you went there, they had not won a lot recently. They had a nice run. They're kind of in the mix this year. Do you still root for them?
I definitely follow. You know, I'm currently employed by the Brewers, right? So.
So you got to be careful. Yes. You got to be careful how you do it, right?
No, but it's definitely one of those situations where you always, you know, you always keep an eye on the organizations you play for, and you just, you know, you stay informed, and you know, seeing kind of their kind of ups and downs the last couple of years, One thing has always been constant. You know, Pittsburgh always has good pitching, right? They've always had the good arms, and they have a pretty good team right now. You know, they got a good mix of some young guys, some veterans, and McCutchen and Rowdy, and so definitely one of those teams that, you know, you can't sleep on. They're in the mix, and definitely a formidable team.
How special was it to be on the first Pirate team in, I don't know, I guess it had been 20-some-odd years, but you guys won that wild card game. It was so exciting. And then took the Cardinals pretty deep into the postseason right after that. The fans had to be so hungry for it. That's got to be one of your favorite memories there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that year was so special, especially that blackout wild card game. Honestly, I had never played in an atmosphere like that. And it was 23 years of some very loyal fans wanting some postseason, you know, so they were ready. And I think the coolest part about that team, too, is the fact that, you know, it was a team. You know, we were invested in one another. I can recall playing with like 7 or 8 guys from AA on up, which I think is pretty unheard of these days. Having that kind of nucleus on a team and having those guys come up together, it was definitely by far the closest thing to having like the college atmosphere. And it really does help. It helps you with those come from behind wins, so those games that you have no business winning. Somehow you find a way to win. It's very very much like our sophomore year at Vandy. I think it was something like 30 something come from behind wins, and, you know. But I think that has a lot to do with the camaraderie and the chemistry on that team, and that's exactly what that, you know, 2013 Pittsburgh team exemplified. And it was a lot of fun going to the park that day. On any given day, it was a different unsung hero, and it really took everybody to come through that season.
Pedro led the NL that year with 36 home runs in 2013 for the Pirates. Pedro, before we let you go, tell people what you're doing now with the Brewers. What's your role?
So I'm currently I am in the performance psychology department, and also help out with player development. So involved in anything from practice design to actual player development throughout the minor leagues. And then I meet with the team, with the major league team a couple times, once or twice a month, either on the road or at home. And it kind of helped with that psychology portion of the game, whether it's mentoring, helping with hitting, whatever the case may be. But just kind of being a resource for both players and coaches, and kind of bridging that gap between some of the ways things were done before and some of the newer, more advanced interventions of training and statistics and you name it. But basically, I wear a bunch of different hats depending on the day, depending on the day, the time of day. And it's been a lot of fun.
Pedro, it's great to catch up with you. Can't wait for this event to come around. Best wishes to you. Continued success with the Brewers organization and everything going forward.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, Pedro Alvarez, former Commodore, now with the Milwaukee Brewers organization, as he just explained, longtime member of Major League Baseball with the Pirates and the Orioles, and he's competing in Home Run Derby X in Nashville at First Horizon Park on August 31st with Manny Ramirez, Andrew Jones, Nick Swisher.
I still didn't hear your name, Willie.
Nope.
They didn't put it up there?
Refresh
your thing.
Okay.
You know,
I was thinking, if you're a certain age, could they move the fences in? That might give me hope.
Hold on. How far would they have to move the fences in?
I'd say about 50, 60 feet.
I only give him a 40 feet grace period.
I was just never a home run hitter to start with, even in my prime. Now,
He's an RBI guy, RBI machine. Yeah. We get
RBIs drives, count drives. Too, Willie. Yeah. And also, Willie, I'm glad he didn't pull a Mike Vrabel. I'm glad he didn't pull a Mike Vrabel. He's like, I'm employed by the Brewers. I got to be calm.
That was good.
I just want you to know that.
Right. That wasn't Mike Vrabel. That was me,
trying to set him up.
I let him down the wrong path on that one. He did a good job. All right. Great to catch up with Pedro. When we come back, we'll switch gears, come back to the football world. We'll talk about some of the things that happened at Titans training camp. Stay tuned. You're listening to Willie and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game. William D-Mace continues here on 102.5 The Game. Great to catch up with Pedro Alvarez. I hope a lot of people will go out and watch Home Run Derby X to support the Sounds. Don't forget, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 and older and in Tennessee to bet. Okay, the big story of the day. Everybody was wondering, I think, last night how, as things sort of fester and there's like a mushroom cloud, things start spreading out all over social media. It was hard to avoid seeing the clip of Jeffrey Simmons, having a verbal spat with a media member. Everybody's kind of in agreement. Mm-hmm. Look, bad look, got to do something. What was Big Jeff going to do? That was a big question as we all went to the field today. He addressed it with the media after practice. So let's let you hear what he said.
Obviously, an eventful day yesterday. You
well, before y'all get started, we all know what happened yesterday. A lot of y'all have been here since I've been here, so y'all know me. That's not who I am. That's not who I want to be seen as. I talked to Buck. We have an understanding. I have an understanding where I was coming from. I have an understanding where he coming from. He have a job. I have a job. At the end of the day, I take full accountability of my actions on the field. I mean, that'll never happen again with me. Like I said, I always talk about that switch, when to turn it on, when to turn it off. I was kind of still had it on coming off the field, of course, with the way practice went. But that, like I said, that's not me. It'll never happen again. And to all you guys, like I said, I apologize. And not because it's hit social media, but it's because who I am. That's not my character. And I think from here on out, like I said, from that point, like I said, I spoke on about it. I'm ready to move forward. Any football questions, I'm here to answer.
Jeff, one question on social media.
Too, Jeffrey, that setting an example for others, is that where that's coming from also?
Most definitely. We talked about everyone know I'm a leader on the team, and I don't want none of my teammates saying that. And like I said, that's not who I am. You know, I look at myself first, because being a leader, you have to point the finger to yourself first. And like I said, me and Buck talk, we have an understanding. And like I said, I told him where I was coming from. He told me where he was coming from. Like I said, ready to move on.
You seem very angry with us in general lately. What's the root of that? What can
we do? That's not me. We're going to move forward from that. I'm ready to focus on football. I just want to win. Like I said, I'm not with all the social media stuff. I got a text message even from PR later, just even delete social media while I'm in camp. Because like I said, I don't want to get the text message. Told my family, don't send it to me no more. None of that. But like I said, I'm not angry at you guys. I don't have nothing against you guys. You guys have a job. I have a job. We know you guys are going to critique us. I mean, we're not going to like it. And like I told earlier, like, we also have a right to speak our opinion as well, just like you guys. So I'm not angry with no one. Like I said, some of the stuff, I just don't like what some of the stuff be said. That's my opinion. So like I said, I'm just ready to move on from that. Like I said, yesterday is unacceptable, and we came back to practice today. I had a great day.
In general, do you need to get, I guess, pay less attention to social media?
I'm focused on football.
When it came to on the field yesterday and just the intensity, where's the line with that? Has Callahan talked to you guys about that at all?
I mean, just control aggression. At the end of the day, my job is to push them guys as well as they push ours. We ain't here to fight. At the end of the day, just like when me and Latham got tangled up, it's a football play. So we compete. All the extra stuff just not called for. As we know that, it's been like that because as we know in the game, you hit someone in the face mask, you're out the game. So at the end of the day, you have to know when to draw the line. We teammates, at the end of the day, like I said, we all in here for one goal. Get each other better and get ready for September, win one game at a time.
You're pushing a lot of guys. Do you have to dial it all back in a situation like that yesterday?
You said, did I have to dial it back?
In the situation like yesterday, when it starts to get heated like that, do you have to, as a leader, dial it back? Or is that just
it's all of us. We're a team. We're competing with each other. We're in the trenches. It's physical in there. Guys not going to like when they get double teamed. Guys not going to like when guys start tangling with them. But like I said, it's a line that you have to draw from me all the way down, from the third guys getting reps. But at the end of the day, like I said, we all on the same team. When we walk out that field, everything was solid. Like, you know, in the locker room, we're in there talking about it. We're in there talking about getting better with each other. We hear it all day. Like, no one want to take it in the locker room where every time I see this guy, I'm still pissed off about it. So, like I said, we teammates, and that's unacceptable. Callahan said it's unacceptable. And we know it's unacceptable. So, like I said, we take it to the line of scrimmage. We're going to compete each and every day to get each other better. Because, like I said, the end goal is to win.
Did you talk to Amy yesterday about what happened?
Huh?
Did you talk to Amy yesterday about what happened?
No, I think I talked to my people in the locker room. I talked to the people who I needed to talk to. I didn't talk to Miss Amy about it. I know who, like I said, I addressed it. We're moving on from it.
Jeffrey Simmons, earlier today at the end of Titans practice, addressing what went down yesterday on the field and then after practice, a couple of different things that he was addressing. So I think we were pretty unanimous yesterday, D-Mace, that he was going to have to look at himself in the mirror and then address it. How do we feel? You shared this earlier in the show, but for people did not hear it. How did you feel like he handled himself today?
I thought he handled himself the way I expected him to. To go out there and first and foremost, and you brought this up too, Willie, the first time when we talked about it earlier, you apologized to the guy that you were involved with. You first and foremost, that's where the apologies lie, and that's where the understanding needs to come. And it seems like you got that from Buck, the understanding, as well as, you know, you gave him your apology. And I'm sure Buck may have, you know, said some things or apologized for things. I don't know, but we're just talking about Simmons. So I think that was the first step at sort of squashing this thing as quickly as possible. And then he talked about being able to learning how to turn that switch off and on. That is a learned skill. You have to because you're exerting so much energy and, you know, You're always in attack mode for an hour and 30 minutes. You're in complete attack mode. And then all of a sudden you get off practice and you got to be able to turn that switch down. Whether you got in a fight on the field or not, you got to be, when you're walking into that locker room, after the coach breaks you down or call practice, you have to let it go. You can't continue to hold on to it. And that's what he talked about. I don't want to walk around, you know, see a guy an hour or two later and still be upset with them. So he's, the good thing about Jeff is that he's learning, he's seeing the faults, and he's learning from it, and he's trying to move on. Because other situations will come up, maybe not like this, but other situations will come up, and people are going to be looking at you and see how you react to certain things, whether it be, you know, y'all on a 5-game winning streak or y'all on a 5-game losing streak or something happened within a game. People are still going to be watching, because if you don't react like a leader, they're always going to point back to 2024 camp, where Jeffrey Simmons threw a punch, and then after throwing a punch, he gets into it at the end of practice with a media member. That's what they're going to go back to. So, but it seems like, you know, he's learned from it. He wants to move on. They're going to need him. They're going to need his leadership again. I don't think he's the leader, because the leader wouldn't have even put themselves in a position like that. I think he's one of the leaders that are on the team. But I don't. When I look at the Titans, I don't equate him as the guy, the leader. I'm looking at other guys that possibly can take on that mantle. But listen, he's learned from it, and you know, like the PR lady said, or you know. Whether it was Robbie, Dwight, or anybody, get off the social media. Just let it go. because now you know you can't.
And he did mention he's even told his family,
exactly,
don't send me this stuff.
Yeah, the family member is like, why would you? Like, here's the thing that I don't understand.
He admits it bothers him.
Yeah, it bothers him.
Admitting it is part of the process.
Yeah.
Just being able to admit to yourself that it bugs you. Now you can deal with it. Now you decide what you want to do.
It's like sending a text message to a doctor. He or she are about to go in to on the operation table. They're about to operate on somebody, and you send them a tweet of what somebody said, or you send them something that a family member said about them. You don't do that. He's about to get ready to go in the surgery. Why would you even put that on his mind? It's the same thing with Jeffrey Simmons. Why would you even engage Jeffrey with that, knowing that camp has started? It started. All that stuff should be put aside until after the season's done. Don't bring that, you know, text or tweets and Instagram or all that stuff. I don't want to hear it. Not while the season going on. Don't bring it to me, because I know how I more than likely will react, because I don't take no stuff. And that's Jeffrey. He seems like he don't take no stuff. So when you're a guy like that and you know anything can just about set you off, then you need to get as far away from it as possible. You need to tell everybody around you, do not bring this stuff to me, especially not during the season.
He mentioned the switch, right? And I think that's a lot of hardcore competitors. It's what makes them great. The switch, when he turns it on the field, and by the way, he was dominant at practice today. He was awesome. I noticed him a lot in the backfield. What happens a lot in these practices is the play goes and we all watch to see who catches the ball. The defensive line is yelling, that would have been a sack. Hey, yeah, that would have been a sack. But he was very active today. He showed his greatness. But he talks about the switch. The switch is what makes him a great competitor.
Exactly.
That you know, the relentlessness on the field, all of that. But he admitted that I have to be able to turn off the switch at the end of the play, and obviously at the end of practice in dealing with the media thing, he admitted he didn't switch off the way he should have. But that is something that everybody's got to corral. Like, we all kind of have a switch somewhere.
Yeah.
Some is maybe, like, my switch didn't make me as great as Jeffrey on the field, but I do think that is something he's learning about himself, right?
Yeah, he is. And I would say this too, especially during the season. Don't make yourself as accessible. Do not make yourself accessible.
Can you do that and be the leader?
Yeah. I mean, what I mean by accessible, I mean to other people outside of that building.
Okay.
I'm saying don't make yourself easily accessible where anybody and everybody can just text you because they got your number and they're going to shoot you something, you know, a tweet or what. No. You can't get through. There's only a certain amount of people that can get through. That's why I always keep your circle small, because the circle of people those are the people that you want to hear from. You don't want to hear from those people outside your circle. So don't make yourself as accessible, you know, via your cell phone. You got to let people know, I'm in camp. Don't come to me with all this stuff. My family, I got my mother, my father, my brothers, that's it. Or my girlfriend and wife, that's it, and kids, that's it. Everybody else, y'all see tweets, keep it to yourself. Even my parents, y'all see that stuff, keep it to yourself. Don't make yourself as accessible, because when you do that, you open yourself up to stuff like this. And I'm not saying that maybe he has, you know, put a guardrail around who can get in touch with him or not. I don't know. But to alleviate some of this, yeah, you got to make yourself a little bit less accessible to people.
I'm hoping that this experience puts him better on track to earn the leadership position that they want him to be. It's also a lesson, probably from the top down, that it's not always something you should do is automatically anoint a leader before it naturally happens. Fair to say?
Yeah.
But maybe this helps the process where he's learned something from this.
Yeah. It can be. You can't force leadership. And I'm sure Brian knows that, and I'm sure, you know, you know, everybody in that facility knows that. Rand knows it just as well as anybody. You can't force leadership. Leadership is just, it happens, you know. And if he's not ready, and again, I'm not saying whether he's ready or not, but if he isn't ready, you can't then bestow that on him. Because once you do that for a guy that's not ready, he's not going to handle it the way that he should handle it. Let him grow into that role. He's one of the leaders on this team.
Right.
Let him grow into that role of the leader.
And it should be a leadership group.
Exactly.
Right. And this is a new team that lost a ton of the leadership group from last year. Mm-hmm. Byard, Henry, Tannehill. Mm-hmm. So there is a void there that's got to be filled, and it can't necessarily be filled day one. Mm-hmm. It's got to be something that organically starts to happen. But I'm hoping that that does happen, and Jeffrey Simmons is the magnet around that. Mm-hmm. But it does have to happen. You can't make it happen, right? I don't know who the people are. Like this is something about the group that we got to find out is who are the guys who will emerge as leaders.
Well, I mean,
on this team?
You have
you got to hope that Levis is in there somewhere,
Cushenberry,
right?
You have Levis.
Yeah,
you have
Cushenberry is a good one.
You know. Harold Landry that has been there through all of this.
Good one.
So you have guys on that offense or defense, veteran guys that can be leaders. I've never heard anyone walk into a room, you know, first day and say, I'm the leader. Right, I'm the leader. I'm the guy in front of the coaches and everything.
Yeah, it's not
I'm
like
the
that.
Leader. No. You got to grow into that role. And that goes for Jeffrey and anybody else. That's a role you have to go into. It's not a role that is given to you. Because if they just give it to you without you going through it, then you're not going to approach it the right way. And again, I'm not saying that Jeffrey's not one of the leaders on this team, because I think he is. But when you're talking about the head dog, the lead dog, I don't think he's earned that right yet. Can he earn it? Yes, I think he absolutely can earn it. But has he earned it up to this point? I'm not sure he has. So this is something that has to work itself out. You can't just come in and ran and be like, oh, yeah, that's our leader right there. Well, he may not handle it the right way now that you've given it to him. He has to earn that.
When we come back, we'll get some calls and texts on this. 615-737-1025 if you want to join us. Our final segment of the show coming up next before Stillman and Company takes over at 2 o'clock. Stay tuned. We're coming back. Nashville's best deals, deal of the week, is admission to the First Art Museum. Enjoy ever-changing exhibitions from world-renowned collections. Get creative in Martin ArtQuest, the Frist's hands-on art-making space. Find unique handcrafted items in their gift shop. Current exhibitions include fashion, photography, graphic arts, ceramics, VR, and more. So head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get two tickets to the First Art Museum for the price of one while supplies last. That's a $15 savings. Go to the Nashville. Go to our website, thegamenashville.com. Willie and D-May's final segment of the show. Let's get to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Randy says, with all of the worry and scuttlebutt regarding Tavondre Sweat during the offseason about his weight and being in shape, I haven't heard much commentary or observations about how he's doing. What have you seen from Sweat the last couple of days?
Hey, if what I see is any indication of what the big fella can be, hold your horses, people. Hold on to your britches, because this big fella can move people out of the way. And I'm not just talking about moving somebody like Nick or myself or Willie. I'm talking about moving somebody like all three of us put together. That type of movement.
Think about a matchup like, how often do we talk about Aaron Brewer being undersized?
He would have ate Aaron Brewer for lunch. He would have ate him.
And think about he's playing next to Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah.
So there are matchup issues there. Because I'm with you. Mm-hmm. It is noticeable. It's not just that he's big, but he's legit.
He can move.
Strong,
he can move.
And he can move a little bit. So that's going to create matchup issues for an offense.
I was discussing this with a former player on the sideline today. that works in media. And, you know, we talked about how it is to have like a big fella in the middle that helps out those linebackers, whether it was Casey in Pittsburgh, whether it was Haloti Ngati in Baltimore, Big Sam Adams back in those Baltimore days before Haloti. I mean, hell, even here, Big Albert Haynesworth. When you have big guys like that, they can move the pocket and they demand double teams. You know who is the happiest? Those linebackers.
Because
they
edge
get
guys.
To scrape. They get to scrape. Those linebackers get to hit those gaps and they get to scrape because now the big fella's taking up two blockers. That Baltimore defense love having Big Sam Adams and Big Sarah Goose in the middle. Why? Because Ray Lewis can scrape off of those guys and hit those gaps quickly and get those running backs in the backfield. That's what they have the potential here. With Jeff and Sweat in the middle, those two big guys commanding double teams, and now those linebackers can scrape and those edge rushers, they can get to the passer. So if practice is any indication of what Sweat can be, I mean, this is going to be a dominant front seven.
I have no idea what he weighs because remember that was the whole thing of, boy, he's got to get down to 360 or whatever. Remember, there was a lot of talk there. So far, he's been able to get through the practices. I don't see him having to come off the field for any reason so far. Once again, we're very early. It's July 31st. But just like we saw with Burks today, Treylon Burks looks good. He's flashing. These are some positive signs. Let's just hope it keeps going. Here's a couple texts I want to get to before we wrap it up. I like that better from Big Jeff. The apology and stepping up, that's more leadership quality right there. So a lot of the same people that texted us yesterday and said, this guy can't be a leader, blah, blah, blah. I think they like it's a step forward. People are acknowledging, and I think that's the right thing, that they heard him. Try to do the right thing today.
And a part of being a leader is knowing what your fault is or knowing what you did wrong and addressing that and apologizing to whoever you need to apologize to and then move forward on from that. That shows leadership. That's why I said, listen, it could have just been a bad day for Jeff yesterday. I still consider him one of the leaders on his team, but yesterday did make me think he's not the leader, like the ultimate leader. There's still some work that needs to be done before he can lead this whole team, like being that one guy like Derek was or like Byard was. He's on his way. Part of it was today. That was a good part of it, him coming in, you know, being contrite, understanding, and then moving on from that. So he is still one of the leaders, but he did take a step back as far as him being that ultimate guy, that ultimate leader. I understand you break down the huddle, all that stuff. I get it. That's a big thing. I'm not diminishing that one bit. But you can break down a leader, but not be a you can break down a huddle, but not be a leader. I think Jeff is a leader, but he needs to become the leader, and it's going to take some time.
Robert texts in and says, I could hear the emotions in his voice. I believe he will be different from this point forward. We can only hope that that's the case. And my final reintroduce, that's the wrong thing to say. I'm going to reintroduce my stat of the day. The projected starting offensive line for the University of Tennessee, every single guy on that offensive line projected for Tennessee, and this is a good thing for the University of Tennessee. That's supposed to be a strength of theirs this year. They should be a good team. Every one of those guys is older than J.C. Latham.
Oh, wow.
That's just something to keep in mind. And Ollie Lane, who is one of those sixth-year seniors, is 2 months older than Nicholas Petit-Frere, who is in his third year as a Titan. So just keep that perspective. Now, what does that mean? I still think there's room for growth for the Titans' offensive line, but it is far from a finished product. And what you see on day one is not what I think you're going to see in week 8, week 16, and hopefully in the next year or two. Just keep that in mind. That's going to be a running theme of mine. That won't be the last time you hear me say this, though. That's pretty crazy to think about, though. Guy's been in the league for 3 years, and he is basically the same age as one of University of Tennessee's offensive.
You'll never see this again. Not this many guys. You'll never see, or girls. You'll never see this again.
Yes, the whole hopefully, COVID thing is hopefully. Ridiculous. Mitch Light texted me, too. There's a guy that just got an extra year of eligibility. Hayden Schott, Texas A&M. Wow. An extra year. He played junior college in 2019, transferred to Columbia, who didn't, you know, the Ivy League, remember, didn't play for 2 years, which is why he got this year. But he's played 4 seasons of college. Why are they giving him another year? I don't understand this. Move the people through. Let the kids from high school move on and play for a team. You don't need college people like Rodney Dangerfield that are there for 50 years in college. Move on.
Hey, it worked for Rodney.
I like it.
It worked for Rodney.
It did work for Rodney.
Yeah.
that's a good movie, by the way. Back to
exactly.
School. That's a good one. All right, we're out of here. Jared Stillman is coming up. Stillman and Company is next here on 102.5 The Game. D-Mace and I are back with you tomorrow at 11.
Be loved, love on your people, and love on your neighbors. Have a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday and peace.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.